Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Wow. Aloha, everybody. Let us say right now, thank you for allowing us to be in your home on a Tuesday night and share with you the history of sport karate in America. Now, every now and then, I do a broadcast on this show that's overwhelming, and tonight is one of them. As you'll see, it's really amazing. But before I do anything, I want to introduce my producer, the man that has put me on the air for 9 years in your home. I'm talking about from Elite Publications, Auntie Jesse Bowen. Jesse, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Well, like I said, every now and then we do a show that's really exciting, and tonight's one of them. Now, before we introduce everybody, I want to share the fact that what you've done. You've done an amazing thing these past 3 years. You've honored individuals. You've created books. Last year, you created a book that is award-winning, and you created a ring for the Sport Karate Museum. But this year, in just, I think it's a couple weeks, you're going to be honoring Bill Superfoot Wallace. And I want to talk about it a little bit. Share it with us about the event for Bill in a couple weeks.
Yes, we have Vegas coming up, and it's going to be really great. Got a lot of exciting things going on. We have seminars and workshops on Friday. We are merging Take Center Stage, the author's journey. We have 6 authors that we have published through Elite Publications that are martial artists that's going to be showcasing their books with my book. So it's not really, I'm not making it about me. I'm going to make it about, you know, everyone that's connected to Elite Publications that, you know, that we're getting their stories out this past month. We had 2 of our authors launching their books, you know, in 24 hours was at the top of the Amazon bestseller list. So, you know, we've never really focused on, you know, being a bestseller, but this is the first year that we're going to put all of our marketing resources that this Bill Wallace book rates as the number one best-selling, you know, martial arts or Amazon bestseller internationally. So we're not just focusing just on Amazon. We're looking for the international bestseller. It's actually already out online in hard copy, soft copy. And this is the first year that we're actually doing a digital launch of the book also for Kindle. So we're doing a lot of new things. We have this brand new team of people, and they specialize in international bestsellers. So we have a whole division now that is what the focus is. Is helping our clients not just sell books, but to be able to get their word out, you know, about their story, about the things that they want to do, you know, Randy and Robert and, you know, Hunchy the Fate got a book coming out next weekend. So it's just a whole lot of really positive things going, and we're just trying to keep that ball moving forward.
Well, it's amazing what you've done for everybody in the martial arts community, and really been amazing what you've done for the museum. Now, I want to say one more thing before I get you off the air. I want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for your vision and what you've done for all of us with the Elite Publication, the books, the rings, the events, and especially for Bill Superfoot Wallace, who deserves all the recognition they can get. So thank you. Thank you, Jesse Bowen. I appreciate you so much. Now we're waiting on three
sir,
more
thank
people.
You. I appreciate you.
Dean Chambers, Dean Piles, and Chris Colombo, if they call in, sir. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, that was my producer, Humpty Jesse Bowen, and I've got two people that put up with me every week, and I'm going to call the first one. I hope he's not here. Dean Piles? I guess Dean's knocking people out. I've got another co-host that has put up with me every week from Ohio, and you guys know me. I don't use the word master or grandmaster, but this man is a master in Taekwondo Karate. He is the representation of the new House of Korea on the webpage. He's an amazing man, a Black Belt Hall of Fame inductee. He's my military spokesman for the military awards for the museum. I'm talking about Master A.J. Perry. AJ, you there?
I'm here. Thank you for the nice introduction. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, baby. Call Dean and find out where he's at, okay?
Yeah, I'll text him.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, as I said, is a very special show. Tonight is a continuing series of, originally it was called The Six, but we want to give more responsibility to Dean and AJ as co-hosts, and we created the 4+1. Well, the one is myself, and I do a commentary at the end. But the four people I'm going to introduce and then bring them on is incredible, okay? The first one, and she's the lady of the group, a PKL champion, a strong Ruth stylist, and practices Qigong and Kung Fu. I'm talking about Miss Karen Slatcher. The second person I'm going to introduce, he is a Marine, hurrah. He worked at Black Belt Magazine. He is an amazing man. He was a protege of the great Joe Lewis. He is the president of the BKF, the Black Karate Federation. He not only is the president, he co-founded it, okay, with two other gentlemen, okay, Cliff Stewart, rest in peace, and Ron Chappelle. I'm talking about the great Jerry Smith. And then a protege, a 10th-degree black belt, a professor, an ongoing karate instructor, who is also the web designer of the new Fort Karate Museum page. I'm talking about Mr. Tom Spellman. And the last of the four is a man that I've known since was, well, an orange belt. He is now the black belt president of the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Karate, the largest sport karate association in Texas. But that's not what I brag about him about. He is one. Over 5 MVPs, the Golden Greek Award. And he won't ever tell me how many exactly, but I know over 5. The reason why I bring this up, it took me 17 years to win one. I'm talking about Mr. D.E. Chambers. Now that I introduce the 4+1, I'd like to originally introduce some of my special guests tonight. The first man, he's done over 1,000 movies and television shows. He has doubled for James Woods, David Carradine. He's an amazing man. I'm talking about Mr. Steve Lampard. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me, Gary. And I'm really honored to be on this program with all these great, wonderful people that you have on.
Thank you. Now, the other special guest I have was the stunt double from the Rocky movies and a movie called Cliffhanger with a guy that we all know and love, Sylvester Stallone. His name is Mark De Los Santos. Mark, are you there?
Yes, sir, Gary. It's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you, Mark, for being on the show tonight. And I'll bring you guys on where you go. We can interact with what the questions are going to have. Now, I got one more person I really want to introduce. He's a young man. Well, he's not a young man anymore. But he really has stepped up to help the museum create an image that's going to be powerful this October for the MW Films that will be coming in to film the museum. He has donated thousands, I'm not talking about hundreds, thousands of pictures and things that he created throughout the years for the MBL to the museum. And it'll be displayed, videoed, all in October 7th and 8th in Houston, Texas at the Judge Roy Kerman event. And I'm talking about Mr. Billy Sweeney. Billy, you there?
I'm here. Glad to be here.
Okay, Billy, I'm going to start with you. You've got an event this weekend, and it's pretty incredible. Tell our listeners a little bit about it. You got a couple of sentences. Go ahead.
Well, it's our tenth annual Coastal Bend Championships. It's pirate themed tournament, and we kind of changed the game a little bit. And we have a seminar the night before, and then we have the event on Saturday. But the events are kind of strange. We got Mark D'Alessandro coming in to do an action acting seminar on Friday night. And then the next day the competition starts off, and it's a crazy competition. It's not a normal tournament. We have tag team fighting. We have the Close Encounters, which is a 5-foot by 5-foot ring for black belts. We do some crazy stuff. We got dodgeball. We have the biggest foam sword fight in karate history when everybody participates in fighting. But it's an outstanding event. This is our 10th year, and we're looking forward to a good one this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Now, if anybody wants to go to Mark's seminar, how much does it cost, and where's it at?
It is $60. It is in Refugio, Texas, the Refugio County Fairgrounds. That is right between Victoria and Corpus Christi, Texas. $60 per head on Friday night. And it's going to be fun. Mark does a great seminar.
Realize that the Sport Card Museum gets a kick in the head and $1 for every $60 you get, don't you? Because I introduced you to Mark. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But I love Mark D'Alessandro, and he is very talented. So, Billy, thank you for sharing us with that little bit of information. And I've got to go on. Now, ladies
Alrighty.
And gentlemen, okay, my people are on the show. I'm going to introduce my four, and they're going to talk about our topic tonight. And then I'm going to bring you guys on, and I want you to comment on what was said. Okay, Mark. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Did Chris call us yet? Chris Colombo? Okay. How about Dean Piles? Okay, D. Chambers? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Guys, is D? Hey, D.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we got a great show tonight, so hang on to your seatbelt. Like I said, this is a lady. I could have chose any lady for karate. I could have, guys. But let me tell you, Karen is an A3 black belt underneath the museum. She is a student of the great Peter Urban, the first American 10th degree black belt in America that came back to America after Goshi Yamaguchi said, "The heck with you." But he came back to America and he formed Nisi Goju and created champion after champion. But here's the neat thing about this lady. A few years ago for the museum, she bought me the black suitcase that Peter carried everywhere with him. Inside were personal documents that only the Sport Card Museum have. I'm talking about Sean Ruse, Kung Fu's own Karen Slasher. Karen, how you doing, honey?
I'm doing well. So good talking to you today.
Oh, we
Hi, Billy.
We talked for almost an hour, I think. But tonight's topic is false impressions. What you see on the screen is not really what goes on, but it does make the star look good. But if it wasn't for people like Steve Lampert and Mark Del Santo and Chris Colombo and other people, they wouldn't look good. How do you feel about that, Karen?
Well, I was going to point out something. Back in the early 70s, when I first got married and moved to Florida, the show Kung Fu came on, and that was the only thing I had for martial arts, and I had been studying since I was 9 years old. So to me, that was every Thursday night or Tuesday night, I was there. And I used to think how good he was for a non-martial artist. And then because the first year, it really focused more on the young boy, and it only flashed ahead to the grown man. And then I noticed he wasn't very good anymore. And I thought, who did they get in there? Or what? Then I read where he said, he actually had the nerve to say that the first year that they filmed that, he needed a stunt person because he didn't know anybody or he didn't know anything about Kung Fu. And but after being with him for about 6 weeks, he felt he could handle it after that, and they fired the stuntman. And I was just laughing today, about that.
We're going to get the man's impression of David Carradine in a minute.
Right.
Who actually
that's so exciting.
I'm so glad
I heard that.
Well, thank you, Karen, for your opinion. I'm going to move right along. This man, I'm overwhelmed. Man, and I want to talk a little bit about what he did today. He posted a poster, and it's called The Immortal. But let me tell you about this guy. He's a Marine. He worked for Black Belt Magazine. He is the president of the BKF, Black Karate Federation. He's an amazing man, but he is a mentor and a consultant on the Sport Karate Museum and will be adding his vision of what he calls the immortal. I'm talking about Jerry Smith. Jerry, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Well, before I ask you about the question of false impressions, I want to talk about the immortal. What was your vision when you put that together?
Well, being around for 50 years, I have to say, I was there with Joe when Joe fought his first full contact match in Long Beach, California. And so after studying with Joe, I wanted to do what he did because he was, you know, he really changed my whole point of view about combat fighting arts. And so I started to teach and train young fighters, and some of them were very, very good. If I started to actually say their names, you would know some of them. As a matter of fact, one of the fighters that I trained challenged Bill Wallace for the middleweight championship of the world here in Las Vegas, and that was the big fight. That was like the UFC for that time, and it was televised on CBS. And I after all these years, a lot of those guys, the first guys to do it, to step in a ring and fight, you know, full contact karate, no one knows those guys. No one knows them. So I created the Immortals so that those who don't know, who didn't know, would know these guys like Cecil Peoples and, just all of the great young fighters that most of you guys know, but a lot of America doesn't know. So I've made it my goal to make sure that those guys, and a lot of them have passed away, but that's what the Immortals are. It's just a tribute to the first fighters.
And thank you for allowing us the Sport Karate Museum to allow to advertise the Immortal Ring and what you're doing. Now, tonight's topic is really interesting. False impression. I wanted to talk about the fact that a lot of things that you see on the movies and television is responsible to the great stuntmen like the guys we have on tonight, Mr. Lampard and Mr. Double Santro. Now, Jerry, what do you feel about the false impression? I mean, you tell the story about that once upon a time in America where Hal Needham threw Bruce Lee into the car.
Oh, yeah. Well, stuntmen are a very, very special group of men. And I know that Burt Reynolds kind of started his career, you know, as a stuntman and moved in. And it's just that these guys are really, really, really amazing, individuals. And some of the stunts that they do, you know, falling out of windows and in front of, you know, jumping out of cars and even driving cars. It's that they're, I don't think they're really, well, maybe I'm going out on a limb saying this. I'm not sure they're appreciated for just what they do, you know. And they're just a great breed of men.
Well, that's what we're trying to do tonight, putting a little piece of the pie to say thank you, and we appreciate these guys. Now, I'm going to thank you so much for allowing us to talk about the Immortals, your vision, and your wisdom on false impressions. Now, you have a protege who's really an amazing man. He's a 10th-degree black belt. He's a web designer for the new web page from the Sport Karate Museum. I'm talking about Professor Tom Selvin. Tom, you there?
Yes, sir, I am, Gary.
Okay, Tom. I'm really been waiting all day to hear your attitude on this. False impressions. What you see, is it real or is it Memorex?
Okay, well, cinema's come a long way from the days of Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin zombies and Tom Mix westerns with the stars doing all their own stunts then. The John Wayne Western bar scenes with the breakaway furniture and the candy glass is not enough for today's sophisticated martial arts choreography. When Billy Jack came out, Tom Laughlin was only about a brown or red belt in Hapkido, and some of the stunts and the majority of the park scene was doubled by his instructor, Bong Sukhan. Consequently, the stuntmen, who many of them were old-school Western bar guys, got injured because they were unfamiliar with the complex Hapkido kicking and grappling and trying to get in there with Bong Sukhan, who didn't really know the idea of stunt safety, just kicking and doing his thing. Action hero movies these days depend on more realistic fight scenes, the karate chops and the shoulder throws and the wrist twists of yesteryear. Many young and older stars are training in karate and jiu-jitsu, others, and more exotic martial arts to keep up with times and remain viable in their craft. Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Sean Connery back in his Bond days, Arnold Schwarzenegger when he did Conan the Barbarian, and trained with Yamazaki in swordsmanship, just to name a few. On the other hand, many martial arts...
My story instructor was there, too. Mako. Mako.
Yeah. Chuck Norris, Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal, Mark Dacascos, Donnie Yen, and scores of others who had martial arts talent came into the music industry, or excuse me, the movie industry, and made their mark on it. Of course, we can't leave out Jackie Chan, who had done so much of his own stunts throughout his long career. The boxing, however, is the liability and the cost of time and delay in production when actors are injured doing their own stunts. Massive insurance premiums factor in as well. More actors training in preparation for their role in movies that require action sequences to be convincing and to virtually stand up to the pros for the dangerous and skillful fight scenes for our satisfaction in the theaters. That's just boxing. But we martial arts can recognize the difference.
You're exactly right, sir. And as always, you put your wisdom out there and research everything, every topic I talk about. And I appreciate you so much, Tom. I really do. Now,
Gary,
move right along. This man is amazing. He is the president of the largest association in Texas. He is a great fighter, a great instructor, and, well, he's an old man now. I think he's like 55. I'm talking about David Chambers. You there, D?
I am here, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Now, I know you've grown up watching movies. What do you think about that false impression where you see something on the screen and you really wonder, is that really the real person or is someone like Steve Lampert and Martin DeLisanto step in for him? How do you feel about
it? I'm teaching karate. And my students sometimes, they'll see, we're about to do something real aggressive. Let me do that for you. Let me do that for you. And I appreciate that. Sometimes we may be, one day I was sweeping the floor. They said, no, Jimmy, let me do that. I don't want you doing that. So sometimes, yes, people might switch out for not saying you can't do something, but sometimes this is not what I get paid to do. You know, I get paid to act. That don't mean I can't fight. That don't mean I can't do something, but I get paid to act. So I believe they're good at their craft. Now, they have butt men who's better at their craft. And they're not paid to act, per se. They paid to do stunts. So my belief is that I have a brother. He always says, say amen every day and stay in your lane. And my belief is they stand in their lane. I get paid to be an actor. Now, sometimes I do stunts for the fun of it. But I get paid to be an actor. And the stuntman saying, I get paid to do stunts. So I believe everybody's standing. So I have much faith in them. And I put a check mark by it. I'm watching a movie every day.
Well, you know, I was very lucky. I was what they call a gag guy. And I did some incredible stunts with people like Harry Mock and others who were part of my shows. And, okay, guys, if you're not talking, you got to mute your phone, please. If you're not talking, please mute your phone. Thank you. As I was saying, I've been very lucky to be around some really incredible gag men. But these two men talk to you right now, they are the real deal. They are the royalty of Hollywood stuntmen. The very first man I want to share moments with, his name is Mr. Stephen Lampert. Steve, you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, Gary, you know what, Steve, the first thing I want to ask you, was David Carradine real or was he fake?
You know, David and I became very close friends. We hung out together. We did many television shows together, many movies together. I love the guy dearly. On the Kung Fu series to begin with, since we're talking about that, David had very, very little knowledge. David was a special guy. He was a crazy man in a good way. I have many stories in my book about him because we worked so many things together. You see, when you're a stunt coordinator, you have many hats, and you should have the knowledge of many. And part of it is if you're a good stunt coordinator, good man, you understand it. If you're, there are two kinds of stunt coordinators. A stunt coordinator hasn't really done any stunts before, but unfortunately, you can still progress being a stunt coordinator. But he doesn't have that knowledge of doing certain stuff, things. So he hires people. Now, in the Kung Fu show, they had a stunt coordinator named Craig Walker. And, no, he was never fired David is a hard nut to crack. Always has been from his very beginning. You know, his father was John Carradine. He comes from a long line of movie actors.
John Carradine was the guy that played in all the horror films, right?
Horror films, fencing films, very much of a great talent. Shakespeare, I mean, he was a very special guy in his day. But David was kind of a spoiled brat, a good spoiled brat, a very funny guy, but a very crazy. You never knew what he was going to do. When you're a stuntman, doubling somebody on a show, as a stunt coordinator or a stunt double, you're looking out for many things, and you should have many hats. A stunt coordinator or a stuntman is hired if he understands the procedure. You know, a director needs help, a cameraman needs help, an actor needs help, and you try to give him the knowledge that you have. You offer it up in a certain way. It's not demanding, but they should and must listen to you. There are all different kinds of stuntmen and stunt coordinators. Some have more guts than others. If you handle it with respect, then you can go a lot further than most stunt people.
Well, let me ask you a question.
But David only did his minor stunts. You allow certain actors to do minor things.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
My other guest, Mark Del Santo, who stunt doubled for the Rocky movies and Cliffhanger, last year, out of all the people, you gave Mark Del Santo the Lambo Award, and that was very special. So I want you to tell me, what do you think about Mark Del Santo?
Oh, gosh.
We've known each other back in the, I think, late 70s we met. And Mark is a very special person. My career is based on mostly martial arts and physical stunts, probably 80% of it. And I've worked with so many people, stuntmen, martial artists, actors, martial art actors, big actors, theatrical actors. And, you know, they all claim they have some physical stunts, but getting physical ability. But getting down to Mark D'Alessandro, we worked together many times physically. And I've always enjoyed him because he is so knowledgeable. You know, no matter how good you are, and I've done a lot of interviews, and I always say this, no matter how good you are, if you don't have that guy equal that you're doing something with or better, then what you know isn't going to be on film. You must have somebody equal. And whenever I had a chance to work with Mark D'Alessandro, it was a true pleasure because anything I wanted to do, he understood. If he didn't understand, you would explain, and he'd get it right away. And those are the kind of people are a true pleasure because so many people think they know how to fight. They know how to do physical stuff. They know about, there are five things you need to know if you want to be a good fight person and a good physical person in the movie business. It's timing, coordination, distance, focus, and power of the mind. And you get those things. How I got them and how I recommend people get them is through martial arts. Martial arts is the best thing for the
movie. Well, listen, before I introduce Mark, I want to ask my coach,
a great
AJ
talent.
Perry.
Great,
do you have a
greatest,
question?
One of the greatest physical talents I ever worked with.
Yeah, you know, actually, you're talking about martial arts and movies and television. I got a great trivia question for you. Who was
you're
the first person?
You're talking to Lambert?
Well, anyway,
yes.
Who was the first person to demonstrate martial art on television?
Who was the what?
The first person to demonstrate martial art on television on a TV program.
David Carradine.
That I saw probably Ed Park.
No, it was actually Rick Jason from Combat fame. He had a program called The Dangerous Robin in 1960. And that's when
I
was first on television.
I have to look that up.
Hey, Jay, this is Wolverine. Actually, it was not him either. Actually, the first person that did martial arts on TV was a commercial, and it was Michael DePasquale's mother. She was the first person to do a martial arts technique on TV, and it was a commercial.
Look it up, Dean. It's 1960,
well,
Rick Jason.
If you want to,
I'm just saying that his mom was the first person to do a martial arts technique
in
a television commercial.
You look it up. 1960. TV program.
We need to find out.
But listen, just a little piece of trivia.
Okay, listen, guys. I got to go to Mark. Now, Mark, the first question I've got to ask you. Mark, are you there?
I'm here.
The first question. How was it like doubling for Sylvester Stallone in the Rocky movies?
Well, come on. It's like he's one of the best that ever worked.
Come on.
It's like, you know, when somebody has a statue at the Philadelphia Museum of Modern Art, it says a lot. But he's a really great guy. He came up the hard way. He kind of grew up in the same neighborhood. I met him in an elevator. Are you getting this? I don't know. But I actually met him in an elevator on resort property. But the team spirit, I guess the background to get into it.
Mark, I got another question that I've been drilling in my head ever since I watched the movie Cliffhanger. Were you really up there on the top of the mountain like all those things were?
Yeah, but guess who was above me? My riggers and stuff. And a lot of times they tested it. I had, like Steve said, that's like, what Steve was telling me and Mr. Perry on the line, it's like, you're only as good as the guys around you, honestly. I mean, and even if you're not that great, if you have an actor like Stallone, no matter what I did, look great, because I'd get my ass kicked, and he'd do a lot of his own stunts. Of course, the insurance ain't going to let you do it. He was there sometimes. Funny thing is, he doesn't like heights. So a lot of his shots, they were.
Did you realize when you were doing it how big the Rocky movie would be?
To tell you the truth, guys, when I did Rambo, when I met him in the elevator and he's selling resort properties in Mexico, it was an anomaly. I was like, I just came out of a couple years of playing football, and my dad was a Marine hero. My dad was the real Rambo. So that was my background. I never expected that we're going to do well.
Mark, I'm a little confused. You did the Rocky movies, right? But you also did Rambo. Did you do all three Rambos or the original Rambo?
I did. Yeah, I worked on actually four of the Rambos. The fifth one I didn't. The fourth one I didn't double him because he was really big on that one. But I got to work on it. But back to what you were saying about the Rockies, I thought that was a joke. When I was on the set, it was my second movie, and I knew Stallone. I followed him. Of course, I grew up back east. And I was like, this guy's, what is he doing fighting this Rush? This is a joke. And then I realized the genius of it. It was a 10-year anniversary of the Cold War, and Dolph Lundgren, I already sort of knew him, and it was a miracle that I didn't think I was going to work. And after just meeting him and catching on that show. But I thought, there's no way Rocky IV is going to do it. And I sure enough, it was the right time, the right place, just like Rambo was. It was the 10th anniversary of the Vietnam War coming out of it. So Spawn's amazing.
Mark, let me tell you a funny story. I was fighting in a tournament in California. And I got a call from my dear friend who was in Tennessee. And he wanted me to come out to watch this new movie that was called Rocky. And I said, I'm not leaving the tournament. And he said, listen, Gary, I'll pay your way out here. It's worth it. Trust me. And we go to the Rocky movie. We watch it four times. before we leave.
Amazing.
That it made an impression on my career. I mean, anybody that told his story about not ever giving up, it was very, very impressive. Now, Dean,
well, it's not
how, there, Dean, finally.
You know, it's not how hard to get punched.
Yes, I'm right here.
Hey, Dean, do you have a question for the great Steve Lampert or Mark?
No, I mean, I will ask. So Mark had mentioned, not Mark, but Mr. Lambert had mentioned martial arts training. Did you train until you became a black belt, or did you just do training for say, movies, what movies or whatever you were going to work on?
No, I started training when I was 10 years old in martial arts, Taekwondo. And then when I was 13 years old, I moved over to Kung Fu. I'm 68 now. I went up to in around 1979. I was working so much, God bless, in the movie business that I couldn't keep up my belts. So I only went up to 6th degree. And all the other years, you see, you work with a variety of martial artists, from Taekwondo to Kung Fu to Filipino to Japanese to all kinds. And when you work in the movie business and you're a martial artist and you grow up in the martial arts, you meet all the styles and you work with all the styles and you have common sense. And if you have ability, you learn as you work with these guys their style. So when you go into the movie business, the more understanding that you have with the different styles, the further you're going to go in the movie business, because you can change on a dime. If they want hard style, short style, if they want a tonfa, or if they want a snake spear, or if they want whatever they want in weapons and styles,
versatility.
You can give it to them. That's why I say martial arts, that's why I say martial arts is the best thing.
Dean, Steven, Mark, the crew, don't go nowhere. I've got something very special I'm going to share with you guys. And then I'm going to bring Steve and Mark back, and I'm going to ask them a couple personal questions. But as I said, this is very special. The past year, I've introduced virtual reality to SetVR.app, and I have the inventor. That's right, not the worker, but the inventor of SetVR.app. And that means self-defense enhanced training in virtual reality. Now, virtual reality, guys, is the future. It'll be used in business, hospitals, pleasure, military. I mean, it's going to go crazy here in the next few years. And we're going to be right smack in the middle of it. We've got a core group that we've introduced to this inventor, Dr. Reginald Lee, and his crew. It's Mike Dillard, the owner of Black Belt Magazine and Century Martial Arts. George Minshew, the first man to give a gold ring competition. Mr. Roy Kerbin, the man who brought the two-point kick to America. And Chris Minshew, NBL world champion. Now, what's cool, every month, we're going to add a new history general profile to SetVR.app. But I'm going to let Dr. Reginald Lee explain this amazing concept. Dr. Lee?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Isn't this a great show?
Yes, it is. Fabulous. Amazing people that you have when you share every week.
Well, explain to the listeners all around the world what SetVR is. Go ahead, Dr.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for the introduction. As we talked about in the past, this program is a program where you're immersed into the program, where you become part of the program and interact with the program. We at SetVR continue to be super excited about SetVR, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality, as a platform whereby you can continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want. The program is portable and compact. You can take it anywhere you travel, put it in your knapsack, and take it even to your hotel room and continue to practice even to practice your skills in self-defense while practicing social distancing in the pandemic. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to have you be able to neutralize an attack or threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. To practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements, the basic movements of martial arts, to avoid and to place you in an advantage of a position for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, as you develop muscle memory, and subsequently the goal of developing a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation. For example, if you place your hand on a hot stove, you act reflexively, and that's what the program does. It trains you to act reflexively against a threat. This is a platform whereby you can practice to utilize what you've been taught and techniques in katas and forms in your dojos, an application against a threat or a stimulus, against a random and unpredictable attack, to practice anywhere, anytime, when you want. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation exercise, and we also will present you with your own personal yoga instructor. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you to practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and when you work. So please continue to visit our website at setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future of his vision of the platform of the history portal, for which SetVR has introduced Professor Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior at the History Portal demo. But before meeting the Wisdom Warrior, one must neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the History Portal. So we're super excited about our program, and we're super excited about having the History Portal and Professor Gary Lee's vision with us on our program.
Well, Dr. Lee, the vision I had 30 years ago was to teach the history, because I've always been an educator, a performer, but an educator. And with putting the profiles of all the history generals on SetVR is a major, major deal. That means these profiles of these history generals will be there forever. And I want to thank you so much for your vision of allowing the Sport Crime Museum to do it. Thank you, Dr.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah, Gary. Gary.
It's SetVR. It's at your event. I'm sure Dr. Lee's probably going to be demonstrating it. But, you know, I've used it, and it's impossible not to react. I mean, absolutely impossible not to react. And it not only builds, like, fast twitch muscles and reaction time, but it builds upon your training regimen. And I firmly believe it's a very, very good training school for all schools, a training tool for all schools. It's and the kids love it.
Thank you for that endorsement. It means a lot. Now, you know, guys, remember, to find out more, you can actually go to the new Sport Crime Museum website, www.sportkaratemuseumarchive.com. And you can see SetVR. You see all the incredible things that Professor Thomas Spellman is adding. Now, I'm really excited about this next segment. You know, for a year after my stroke, this man took care of my radio show. Now, I want you guys to know it wasn't by accident. Before the great Joe Louis passed away, he gave me permission to adopt this man. What I didn't know, he was a Wolverine. I knew I was adopting Dean Pyles, but I didn't realize he was a Wolverine. Now, the Wolverine means what he says what he means, and he can back it up. So every week, I allow him off the leash. I allow him to say what he needs, what he says, and says what he means and needs it. So I'm going to let him do it right now. Wolverine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You created a new movie called The Coward. and you're so bluntly, are those real fight scenes, or is it candy, whatever as you called it before?
So what's my question? Do I think that...
Is it real? Is it real? You really get hit?
Is what? In my movie?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it just depends. We don't have to hit each other. This is the difference in the way Hollywood looks at fights. See, most Hollywood directors don't like to use martial artists because a lot of the martial artists think they're really good, but they staccato their fight scenes too much. Like, Van Damme's fight scenes are good, but they're choppy. You know, bam, 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 bam. It don't flow. If you're in a real fight, watch UFC. That's a real fight. The difference is most people that fight, they want to do choreography like they would fight. So they make it close, make the moves tight, which that don't sell on camera. You can't see that. But if you know that, well, how camera angles work and how to set and block your fight scene, then you can make a fight look real and have it opened up to the camera if you know about good fighting. A lot of martial artists, they may be martial artists, that still doesn't mean they can fight. Although fighters, they may be great fighters, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be great in a movie doing fights when it's choreographed and has to do with acting. So you're trying to make things look good and look real. What you want to do is you want to make things look so real that if somebody is watching you right there at the fight, they can't tell whether you're actually in a real fight or whether you're faking it. And that is where the movie magic comes in. If you can do that, because in a lot of movies, I've done a lot of movies, these guys will be, you know, sometimes 2 and 3 feet apart throwing punches at each other really slow, and it looks like they're fighting because of the camera angles, but really nobody's in danger because of the distance. Then they'll also get really close, go slow, and then speed the camera up just a little bit. So, you know, there's a lot of magic, and then now with CGI, it makes it, the movie magic with CGI makes things really good. That's why, you know, like doing the Deadpool movies, when Ryan Reynolds is talking, he says, okay, get ready for a really huge CGI fight scene coming up, because now they can take the movies like that place there in Austin, Texas. You go in, put the black suit on with the ping pong balls all over it. They video you doing the martial arts moves, and then, bam, they can stick that in a movie and make it be anybody they want to be, and they can move those. And, you know, bad martial artists have give martial artists a bad reputation when it comes to movies and doing movies. It makes a lot of people in Hollywood think that martial artists can't do movies. And for the most part, they are right. But at a big part, they're wrong, because a lot of them can, and they know distancing, timing, speed, and how to make things look really real. And when you're doing stuff like Ukian and your self-defense or stuff when you're in your, like in your dojo, that kind of stuff can be portrayed out if you open it up and know how to set your camera angles and move that so that your fight continues to flow in one set instead of one move, stop, one move, stop, one move, stop, one move, stop, 2 feet apart. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends. So you've got to have a working knowledge of both sides of that camera. And a working knowledge, like Mr. Lambeau said before, of different types of martial arts. You've got to have versatility in your technique and be able to transition into different things and do different things. And that's what makes movie magic great. And, you know, like you say, you can learn a lot, even working in a movie, if you have a good stunt coordinator that actually knows how to fight and block those camera angles correctly.
Wolverine, I wish you luck on the coward, but I want to go back to Mr. Lambert and Lambo and Mark. I've got to ask you. Steve.
Yes.
I want to ask you, and I got a couple emails to ask you, what was your hairiest stunt? Keep it short, please.
That's hard. My hairiest stunt, There's been a few. I launched myself in a cop car, Revenge of the Ninja. I went 160 feet across, 28 stories high, from one building to another. Remo Williams did a lot of hairy stuff on that. You know, it just depends on the film.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
were you on the Statue of Liberty?
Yes. What?
Were you on the Statue of Liberty on that film?
Yes, the
climbing
real
around
Statue
when they were redoing it.
Yes,
cool.
I was the only. I was the only stuntman that was allowed on there. Then, up until now, I was blessed.
They did,
you know,
some
they
great
were reconstructing. They were thank you. They were real reconstruction on the lady. And
right.
That gave us the chance to go up there and do it. So we were blessed. They were fixing it up at the time, and they gave us permission. So that's the only reason why we got up there. But,
cool.
You know, even sometimes the simplest things could be very dangerous and hairy.
Let me ask Mark.
Yes.
Mark, what was your hairiest stunt, young man? Keep it short, please.
Oh, boy. Probably the jump cliffhanger. They want to get an upshot jumping from a cliff. It's just weird because it's like 1,500 feet up. It's called Torre Vista, which means Twin Towers in Italian. And it was like a 20-foot jump, but with the run, you couldn't help miss it. But still, it was an upshot. There wasn't much CGI. But without a doubt, the dumbest thing I ever did, and everybody thought it was hairy, is jumping from a helicopter to a moving bus on a show called Hard Justice. And then I doubled Jeff Speakman. That was David Bradley, Michael Dudikoff, and then doubled Jeff Speakman. They liked the stunt so much. New Image said, man, we want to do that gag again. And Rick Avery, who's going to be honored by Steve, praise God, getting action on film, you know, Lifetime Achievement Award, Rambo Award.
Let me share
but
this
anyway,
with my
that,
audience.
Those two.
Mark,
those
let
two.
Me share this with my audience. Mark D'Alessandro, Steve Lampert, Tony Chalice, Sylvester Stallone's cousin, and the great Rick Avery will be at the Judge Roy Kirvin's tribute birthday party and roast October 7th and 8th. And you can get a copy of Steve's book. You get an autograph from Mark, and Rick Avery's going to have his book. And I believe that Tony and Steve and Mark and maybe my son, Garrett, are going to do a special skit that Steve has promised me is going to blow people away. Now,
maybe
remember,
we can get Mr. Perry in there also, right?
Yes,
looking forward to seeing you.
He's too old.
Steve Lambert. Let's
anyway.
But given an award to us, Gavery, the Lambo Award.
Yes. The Lambo Award to Rick Avery.
Deserves it.
Remember,
October 7th.
Everybody
remember.
Should read Steve Lambert's book. If you want to get in the business from Brooklyn to Hollywood, Steve
Mark,
Lambert,
I'm
going to
plug it.
Book.
Give me a minute, buddy. I'm going to plug it.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
remember.
Absolutely.
October 7th and 8th.
Absolutely.
In Houston, Texas, at the West Chase Marriott. And there will
absolutely.
Be a book fair, and we're going to plug Steve's book right now. This is one of the greatest books about Hollywood. And it's written by Steve Lampert. We're gonna have authors there like Karen Eda Herdman, Ken Gambardello, Jim Buten, a slew of people, Rick Avery. I mean, it's gonna be amazing. So, if you want your ticket, you need to call 713-483-0476. And it's really got big, guys. So I don't want you to miss out on it. So if you want to get involved, remember to call me. 713-483-0476. Now tonight's show has been amazing. And I'm going to close out with asking Steve. Excuse me, I'm talking. I want to ask Steve, how do they order your book?
You can order it on Amazon.com. It's called Stephen Lambert,
from the streets of Brooklyn to the halls of Hollywood. And it's like an encyclopedia. My whole life, 747 pages. And it starts from when I was a kid in Brooklyn, New York, coming out to California when I was 13, finding the martial arts of my life, and coming into the movies and the things that I ran across. I tell you stories that you'd never heard in a million years. This book is like no other. There's a thing in the movie business, stunt people, actors, producers, directors. They're just nervous and afraid to tell real stories. And I tell you real stories, the good, bad, and the ugly. About,
the book is amazing. Now, Mark, this weekend, you're going to be in Imperial, Texas, at Billy Sweeney's event. It costs $60. Now, how long is your seminar?
The seminar will run from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
4 hours? Billy, 4 hours?
Yes, sir.
Wow. How cool is that? To be with the top stuntman, one of the top stuntmen in Hollywood at Billy Sweeney's tournament this weekend. Now, I want to thank, and you guys know me, I really mean this, I want to thank this crew, the four, my producer, Jesse Bowen, Dr. Lee, my co-host, AJ Perry and Dean Powell, Hollywood stunt royalty, Mark D'Alessandro, and the great Steve Lambert. Now, we missed Chris Colombo. I'm sorry you didn't get on the air. But I want to say a big thank you also to Tom Spellman, Jerry Smith, Karen Fletcher, the Chambers, for putting up with me and being part of the four. And we mean this from the heart. This show will be on the AMAA network on Google. And it'd be worth listening to again because there was a lot of information tonight. But as I said, we always say this and we mean it from the heart. Mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Hello.
Good night.
Thank you for having me. You had on very smart guys. Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Great interview.